Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone, to this deep dive. Today, we're immersing ourselves in a really influential piece of work, Isabel Briggs Myers' classic book, Gifts Differing.
Yeah, this one's pretty foundational. It's basically the research behind the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the MBTI, that so many people know.
Right.
And our goal today really is to unpack its main idea, which is quite elegant, actually, that personality differences, you know, the things that often drive us crazy about other people.
Yeah, definitely know what you mean.
Well, Myers argues they aren't random faults. They're systematic, predictable, and even valuable gifts, as the title says.
Gifts. I like that framing. Because we all have those moments, don't we? Like, you see someone make a decision and just think, how could they possibly ignore those facts? Or maybe, why are they getting so caught up in feelings when logic is clear?
Exactly. And Myers' work steps right into that confusion. It says, look, that behavior that seems arbitrary or illogical, it's actually quite orderly. There's a pattern.
So it gives us a way to understand a framework.
Precisely, a systematic framework.
What?
And that's the power here. It helps shift misunderstanding towards, well, actual appreciation, empathy even. It offers this like non-judgmental language for talking about differences.
Okay, so who is the person behind this? Isabel Briggs Myers. She lived from 1897 to 1980. And what I find fascinating is you mentioned she wasn't formally trained in psychology.
That's right. Her degree was in political science, which sounds odd at first, maybe.
A bit.
But maybe that lack of rigid academic baggage was a good thing. She came at it with really sharp observation skills and this relentless focus on, like, does this actually work for people in the real world?
Less theory, more practical application.
Totally. And you really see that in how it all started. She began developing the tool during World War II.
Wow. Okay. Why then?
Well, the motivation was super practical and humanistic, really. It was about helping people, especially, you know, women entering the workforce in huge numbers then, find jobs that actually fit their natural strengths, their temperament.
So it was about effectiveness, but also fulfillment.
Yes, exactly. How can people contribute best and feel more satisfied doing it? And this wasn't out of the blue either. She built on work her mother, Catherine Cook Briggs, had been doing for decades.
My mother.
Yeah. Catherine had been studying Carl Jung's theories, his psychological types, since way back in the 1920s. Jung's stuff is pretty complex.
Right.
So Gifts Differing is kind of the culmination of maybe half a century of observation, translating Jung's heavy theory into something, well, usable, accessible, measurable.
That's quite a story. Linking wartime needs to understanding the self. Okay, so let's really get into the book's main argument then. What's the core thesis?
Myers basically says that a lot of the behavioral variation we see isn't just random noise. It comes down to fundamental, probably inborn, preferences in how we do two key things. Perceive the world, how we take information in, and judge how we make decisions based on that information.
Preferences. That word seems really important here.
It's crucial because the book introduces these four key preference pairs dichotomies. She calls them that combined to make the 16 types. Mm. And understanding this framework helps you see that maybe your colleague isn't being stubborn. They're just operating from a completely different but still valid psychological starting point.
And it goes beyond just figuring out your four letters, right? The book applies this everywhere.
Oh, yeah. The scope is huge. Education, careers, marriage, personal development. You name it. She wasn't just sorting people into boxes. She was aiming for what she called the constructive use of differences, basically a roadmap for getting along better.
Okay, let's spend some time on these core concepts then, these preferences. You said they're like handedness.
Yeah, that's the analogy Myers uses. They're largely inborn preferences, not skills. Mm-hmm. You can use your non-preferred hand, right? But it feels awkward. It takes more energy.
Gotcha. Okay, so the first pair, extroversion E versus introversion I. What's the key difference there? It's not just about being loud or quiet, is it?
No, not really. It's about the direction of energy. Where do you naturally focus your attention? Extroverts orient outwards to people, action, the external world. They recharge by doing things, interacting.
Okay.
Introverts, on the other hand, orient inwards to ideas, reflection, the inner world. They recharge through solitude, thinking things through. It's fundamentally about where you get your psychic energy.
That clarifies it a lot. Okay, next pair. How we take in information. Sensing S versus intuition N.
Right, our perception function. Sensing types trust what's real, tangible, concrete. They rely on their five senses, focus on facts, details, the present reality, what is.
Very grounded. And intuitive types, are they just dreamy?
Huh, not necessarily. They're complementary. Intuitives look for the patterns, the possibilities, the connections between the facts. They're more focused on the future, what could be. Think about planning a vacation.
Okay.
The S-type might meticulously research routes, check hotel reviews, pack exactly what's needed. The N-type might brainstorm big picture themes, imagine the feeling of the trip, maybe pack 3 extra books just in case.
I definitely know people like both of those.
Yeah.
Okay, third pair, making decisions. Thinking T versus feeling F. Now, this one seems tricky. Feeling sounds, well, emotional.
Yeah, and that's a really common misunderstanding Myers wanted to correct. Thinking types prioritize objective logic, universal principles, fairness through consistent rules.
Makes sense. Logical.
Feeling types, though, prioritize values, empathy, the impact on people involved. It's about fairness based on the specific circumstances. And crucially, Myers stresses that feeling is a rational process. It's about valuation, weighing what's important to people in that specific situation.
Ah, okay. So it's not irrational emotion. It's a different kind of logic, almost.
Okay.
Logic based on human factors.
Exactly. It's a different set of criteria for making a rational choice. Understanding that can totally change how you see disagreements,
yeah.
Right? It's not necessarily about someone being illogical versus logical.
Yeah. It comes a difference in criteria, not character.
Yeah.
Okay. Last pair. Judging J versus perceiving P. What's this about?
This describes our attitude towards the external world. How we like to live our outer life. Judging types prefer things planned, settled, organized. They like closure, making decisions, having things decided, checklists.
Huh. I know some J types.
Right. Perceiving types, conversely, prefer flexibility, spontaneity. They like keeping options open, adapting as they go. They might resist making decisions too early because something better might come up.
So the J type has the vacation itinerary laminated 6 months in advance, and the P type is still deciding what city to fly to the day before.
Pretty much. It's a fundamental difference in wanting structure versus wanting openness in the outer world.
Okay, those four pairs make sense.
Yes.
But you mentioned it's more than just the letters. Something about dynamics.
Yes, type dynamics. This is where it gets really sophisticated and frankly moves way beyond those simple online quizzes.
Right.
When you combine the four preferences, you get one of the 16 types, sure. But Myers says the type is way more than just the sum of its parts.
How so?
Well, within each type, one function, either sensing, intuition, thinking, or feeling, is the lead function, the dominant function. It's like the captain of the ship.
Okay.
Then there's a second one, the auxiliary function, which is like the capable first mate. It supports the dominant function and helps you interact with the world effectively. This dominant auxiliary pairing is really what drives the type's core motivations and behaviors.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's take an ISTJ. Their dominant function is introverted sensing. That means they have this deep internal library of facts, experiences, details, very reliable, focused on what they know for sure from the past.
Okay, internal database.
Right. But how do they use that? Their auxiliary function is extroverted thinking. So they take that internal storehouse of facts and express it outwardly through logical organization, planning, structure. That dynamic introverted sensing supported by extroverted thinking is why ISTJs often come across as so dependable, orderly, and efficient.
Ah, I see. So the interaction between the functions is key. It's not just four separate switches.
Exactly. And this dynamic model is also the key to growth. Myers believed maturity isn't about changing your type. You can't, really. It's about achieving balance or wholeness.
How do you do that?
By consciously developing your less preferred functions. So if you're that ISTJ, maybe growth involves intentionally working on your feeling function, considering the impact on people more, or your intuitive function brainstorming possibilities sometimes. It's about becoming a more rounded version of yourself.
Okay, that makes the framework feel much less static. It's a path for development. Let's shift gears slightly and talk about the big themes that run through Gifts Differing. The first one seems obvious from the title, the value of differences.
Absolutely central. Myers genuinely believed these differences are assets, not liabilities. Society works best, teams work best, relationships work best when you have a mix of types and you actually appreciate what each brings. You need the person focused on details and the person focused on the big picture.
Makes sense. Another theme you highlighted earlier was preference. Not ability.
Crucial distinction. Your type describes your natural inclinations, where you feel most energized, what you prefer. It doesn't put a ceiling on what you can do. An introvert can give a great presentation. A thinker can be empathetic. It just might take more conscious effort or energy.
Right. Good reminder. And you mentioned she was passionate about education.
Very much so. Educational reform through type understanding is a major theme. She argued pretty convincingly, I think, that schools often implicitly favor certain types.
Like who?
Often sensing judging types, maybe. Kids who thrive on clear facts, structured assignments, deadlines, and that structure might inadvertently penalize or frustrate, say, intuitive perceiving kids who need more room to explore concepts, ask what if, work in bursts of inspiration rather than steady plodding.
That's a really interesting point. Tailoring teaching could unlock potential.
That was her hope. And this connects to another theme, the complementary nature of opposites.
So, opposites attract? Or at least they can work well together.
If they understand each other, yes. Myers believed that when opposite types learn to appreciate and integrate each other's perspectives, say, a T and an F working together, their combined judgment is often far better, more balanced than what either could achieve alone. You get logic and values considered.
That's optimistic. Okay, the book also has some really memorable lines, doesn't it? Let's touch on a few key quotes.
Yeah, she had a way of putting things. I like the one that sums up the basic premise. The basic assumption of type theory is that much seemingly random variation in behavior is actually quite orderly and consistent.
That really captures it. It gives you a lens to see the pattern in the chaos.
Exactly. And then there's one about personal application, something like, whatever the circumstances of your life, the understanding of type can make your perceptions clearer, your judgments sounder, and your life closer to your heart's desire.
That's powerful. It connects self-understanding directly to living a more authentic, fulfilling life, making choices that actually fit who you are.
Right. And my personal favorite, maybe the most fundamental message, is the constructive use of differences is the great opportunity of the human race. The very qualities that make people different are the ones that make them valuable.
Wow. That really frames it as a societal imperative, almost.
Yes.
Okay, let's bring it down to earth. How does this apply in everyday life? Conflict resolution seems like a big one.
Huge. Think about a common argument between, say, a thinking partner who wants to solve a problem logically and efficiently, and a feeling partner who needs to talk through the emotional impact first.
Yeah, I can picture that.
Understanding type helps them see it's not that one is right and the other wrong, or that one doesn't care. They're just prioritizing different, equally valid criteria for resolving the issue. It depersonalizes the conflict.
Takes the sting out of it. What about careers?
Oh, massive application there. The MBTI has been used extensively in career counseling. Research generally shows correlations like SJ types often finding satisfaction in fields needing precision and order, maybe accounting or logistics.
And others.
NT types often drawn to strategy, innovation, science. NF types towards counseling, teaching, the arts. It's not predictive, like you must do this, but it helps guide you towards work environments where you might naturally thrive and feel energized. Find that good fit.
And parenting or education seems very relevant there too.
Definitely. Imagine you have an introverted teenager who always retreats to their room after school. Instead of thinking they're rejecting you, understanding type helps you see they just need that alone time to recharge their batteries.
Changes your whole reaction, doesn't it? From worry to maybe just quiet support.
Exactly. Or that very curious, intuitive child who constantly asks why about everything. It's not defiance, usually. It's a genuine need to understand the underlying concept, the bigger picture, not just be told because.
It really shifts your perspective as a parent or teacher. Okay, as we wrap up, what's the one thing that really stands out most to you from Gifts Differing?
For me, it's that fundamental reframing, moving away from seeing personality differences as problems, as deviations from some imaginary norm, and instead seeing them as systematic, predictable, and ultimately beneficial variations. It gives us this incredibly useful, non-judgmental language for understanding ourselves and others. It's a tool for compassion, really.
Yeah, that resonates. The non-judgmental aspect is key.
Yeah.
My final thought is really about the growth potential. It's not just about finding your label. The most important lesson might be that understanding your type is just the start. It's a blueprint for becoming a more balanced, whole version of yourself by consciously developing those parts that don't come as naturally. It's a lifelong journey guided by self-awareness.
Well said. It really is a starting point for deeper growth.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.